Everybody, welcome to Squim Community Church. Thank you for joining us in person and on our live stream this morning. It's great to have you with us. Isn't it awesome to have our band? Everybody, give them a hand. I love these guys. It's wonderful to have a team again. This morning, as we enter into this time of worship, the next song we're going to sing is called Yes, I Will, and you probably know it, but I just love it because it talks about how we praise the Lord because he is faithful in the good, in the bad. We can trust him through it all. So let's sing this. Let's worship together.
Fail me now. Who won't fail me now? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
Let's pray together. Holy God, you You border everything that goes on in this world. You are the Alpha and the Omega, not only of the whole world, but our own personal world. As we've experienced all that has been going on, it's chaotic, it's confusing. It reminds us that we do need your new self to take over in us. Help us to put off our old nature and enable us through your Holy Spirit to put on our new nature. And that newness, that altered direction is what we pray for in a very practical and spiritual sense today. That the world would come and be a part of your plan. That we in the United States would intentionally be a part of your plan. And as we make ourselves a part of your plan, well, that makes all the difference in the world. We pray for our leaders. We pray for all that will go on this next week in our country. We pray for our frontline workers still dealing with a lot of sickness and death. We also pray for those in our congregation that are headed to surgery, returning from surgery. Those that have received bad news of one type or another. You give us a peace, an inner peace, but you also give us a peace that passes all human understanding. And that's just the kind of peace that, well, our world needs, and we believe the whole world needs. Our desire is to worship you. Mind, heart, soul. Holy Father, as we lift you up in worship today, I pray that you would lift us up as well, that as we worship, we can worship you in truth and in spirit as well. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's thank everybody for leading this morning. One of the big pieces of news is that Christy starts today full time. Yes. So now if you have questions about music, worship, and arts, you can take them directly to Christy, and she would be happy to respond to you. Here's a few other announcements that I would like to share with you. The Truth Project is the adult Sunday seminar that Rick is leading. When you leave here, just jump on Zoom, go to the website of the church. It'll direct you on how to get to the Zoom link, and you can be a part of that. I think it's a very decisive understanding of our Christian faith, looking at the most challenging and difficult aspects of faith and life. We are going to hold an annual meeting that will be by Zoom and in person, so it will be a hybrid event. There we'll receive the annual report. The nominating committee is bringing nominations on a few open elder positions. Anyone that has not yet been installed will be installed in that meeting, and we will have new members there who will declare their faith before you. You get the opportunity to affirm them and tell them, yes, I'll open my life to you. I will pray for you. I will be your friend as you join this church. That annual meeting will be at noon following the third service. Last but not least, here is a video from some of our missionaries.
Well, it's our pleasure to introduce Dan and Tara and the minister in Western Europe. Dan's, we'll call it the gateway to ministry, is through managing a technology resource team. And he's also involved in church planting and training.
Firstly, I just want to say thank you so much for the community there, the encouragement and the support that you've shown to us over the years. We're super thankful. In many of the contexts that we are working, there are still restricted travel. We cannot even move around without police permission. We can't cross borders. We can't move in. Much of the changes that I see coming for us is additional work in business development, particularly in areas that are hard to get into or difficult access. And I'm able to work alongside them, providing coaching and business support and actually financial resource connection for their businesses that they are starting.
Now, Tara, you, as I understand it, you teach in a Christian school. I bet that's been challenging for you.
Actually pretty excited and encouraged that we've been able to maintain face-to-face class from September. And we have an occasional kid that needs to stay home because they've had exposure, but our students have stayed really healthy.
What are the two or three things that you'd like us to pray for as a church?
I was asked to take on a bigger leadership role at school. And so I'm actually now the, what they call deputy head, or you might think of it like vice principal. And so it's a big step up and it's been a big challenge and just carrying a lot of weight.
Well, for me, you know, coaching and just coming alongside them and just really cheering them on in the work they're doing. And so I want to pass that cheering on that you guys are part of that cheerleader squad that is encouraging the work to go forward in hard places.
Thank you, Lord, that Dan and Tara could be with us this morning. Thank you for their ministry. Be with Tara and her new responsibilities. Be with Dan. Open things up so that he could use his ministry to the fullest. And we ask these things in thy holy and precious name. Amen.
Now we're going to move to our scripture passage this morning, which is being read by our elder of congregational life, Christy Paris.
Good morning, church. This morning I will be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin.
Discouraging battles. How do we lean in on the discouragement, the challenge that there is right now in our country, in our world, even in our city? Two big battles. One big battle is out there. I think the biggest of all battles is the one that resides within me. Paul affirms the fact that there is a tug of war, a battle to be had with our own inner being. The reason for that, Paul says, is, well, we have two natures. We have our own old sinful nature, and now we have a new spiritual nature, a nature that is being renewed, sanctified, changed. As we read the scriptures, we see Paul really opening up his life, his heart, and his mind to us, pointing very specifically to the challenge that we all have two natures battling within us. Verses 21 and 24 of Romans 7. The trouble or the battle is within me, for I am all too human. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. In my mind, I really want to obey God, God's law, my new nature. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. We all want to let our new nature come out, but yet it's held back from time to time by our old sinful nature. Paul goes on in Romans 8. He says, don't lose heart. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of the sin that leads to death. He doubles down on this in Colossians, in Ephesians, where he says, throw off your old sinful nature, instead put on your new nature. And then in Colossians 3:10, for you have been stripped off your old sinful nature, put on your new nature and be renewed. See, there is a battle within us. Our old nature that has passed away, that we're trying to keep in the past, is still a part of who we are in this original sin world. There is a battle out there between good and evil, and yes, there's a battle within us between good and evil. A battle of our old self. And the challenge to lean in and put on your new, renewed, sanctified self. Paul is opening himself up. He says, I feel the battle, don't you? And notice he just doesn't mention that one time, but he mentions that numerous times as he writes. This big battle on the inside, well, it's a costly battle. It costs us because, well, it's, first of all, very confusing to us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Even the great apostle Paul is perplexed at his own behavior. There are things that I want to do and I don't do them. Why don't I do them? Well, it's that old nature thing again. We have to put it off so that we can put on our new nature. And so if you're a little perplexed and a little confused by how you act sometimes, what you say or don't say, you're not alone. Even the Apostle Paul felt this inner battle and knew it was a powerful battle that needs to be fought in each and every one of us. That confusion leads us to the point of feeling a sense of guilt and shame. I know that we all know what is right and what is wrong, because when we do wrong, we feel a sense of guilt and shame. And that weighs us down and holds us back. Here's what Paul says about it. But I know that what I am doing is wrong. Okay, well, if you know it's wrong, just stop it. Wow. That's easier said than done, isn't it? The old sinful nature still wants to have power over us, and we need to keep putting that off so that we can put on our new, renewed, sanctified self. And so it is confusing, and in the confusion we sin, and when we sin, well, we know a battle is taking place because of the shame and the guilt that we feel, or we ought to feel, in the midst of living out our faith, living out our life. Paul says, now you move from confusion to a real understanding that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and the things you aren't supposed to do, you're doing. And Paul says, you got to fight. You have to fight that old nature. You need to fill and feed your new nature. What he says is really the worst thing for you is to not fight the battle at all. It is sin living within me that does it. It makes me sin. And what happens if we don't check that sin in our life? If we don't check our cravings, they turn to addictions. If we don't check our sinning, then we begin to reinforce in ourselves that, well, sinning is just the way that we are. God will forgive us, won't he? And the answer is God will always forgive you. But what kind of damage? What kind of damage are you extending to others as well as yourself? And we don't want to have addiction run our life. We don't want our old nature running our life. And so we're in a battle. And we need to lean in on that sin that is so pervasive, so perplexing, so confusing in our life. And like Paul, we're not sure why that is happening, but we know what to do. We got to fight it. And to fight it, we have to face it. And we can face it better knowing that even the great evangelist Paul, even he felt the struggle. He felt the battle. If we don't fight our sinful nature, eventually it takes over us. And it takes over us in a very self-condemning way. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, and I know that nothing good lives within me. Now, that you know that's not true. He's exasperated. He knows that he needs to fight harder because now he's condemning himself. And that self-condemnation has a tendency to spiral in a downward direction. And when we look at our life and say, there's nothing good living within me, while we're in a lot of trouble, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, God has placed good within you as well. And in the battle, we need to differentiate between what is good and what is sin in our life. Where we're making an effort to push back that army of our old sinful nature and join the new nature army and move forward in life. When we start condemning ourselves, that usually moves us along a bad path. We begin to become very frustrated. We become very disappointed, and then we move to despair. Oh, there's nothing I can do. Well, there is something you can do. It's amazing how good we are at rationalizing why we don't do something about our sinful nature. And oftentimes that takes that frustration, that disappointment, that despair for us to get back into the fight. And I know nothing good lives within me, only my sinful nature. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. This power makes me a slave to the sin that still lives within me. Now, it's true, when we become a Christian, God's power enters us through the Holy Spirit, and now we're in a position to take on the inner battle of our lives. And you know, it's very hard to fight that battle without spiritual help. Have you ever noticed how frustrating and discouraged and even dismayed you become when you try to do something under just your own willpower? Ask anyone that has a substance abuse problem. Ask anyone who has a craving that's gone awry in their life. And they will tell you that your own human will is not enough. It's not strong enough. What we need is we need divine intervention. Well, we may need some human intervention too. But we need divine intervention, supernatural power to fight this fight, to win this battle. I've been confused. I've felt guilt and shame. I found myself where I didn't want to fight the fight any longer. Well, it's a lot less work to just give into it, isn't it? And then out of it, as I look at myself in the mirror, then I begin to condemn myself. And I feel like Paul, gee, it seems like today there's nothing good within me. In this moment, in this relationship, in this circumstance, I just am not doing what I want to do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And that self-condemnation, well, it does lead to a sense of frustration and discouragement and despair. The good news is God has a battle plan for us that will help us be more victorious over our old nature. And these helpful hints will help us step more and more into our new nature. If our lives is filled with doing good things, it doesn't leave us too much time to go after bad things, negative things, evil things, destructive things to us and to others. Our scripture passage says that the solution to our inner battle, the thing that will help us win, is to let Jesus be the Lord of our life. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the key is Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's also, to use some time-honored terms, he's our Savior and he is our Lord. He saves us from the ultimate penalty of sin, which is death. And he provides for us the opportunity to now empower us and move us forward on a daily basis. Yes, you've been saved from sin ultimately. Yes, one day you will be freed from all sin when you die, are glorified, and go to heaven. Jesus needs to be the Lord of our life, and we need to affirm that each and every day. Jesus is not only a Savior, but he's our leader. He wants to lead us each and every day. And what does it take on our side? It takes us showing allegiance to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's by starting out our day keeping our eyes upon him, seeking him when we're feeling weak, when we feel that old sinful nature begin to creep in. And as I just said, when we're doing good, it doesn't leave us a lot of time to do bad or destructive things, sinful things. We need to start out our day focused on Jesus and remind ourselves that what we really want is what happens in heaven to happen here on earth, and that's God's will. God's will for you, his plan and purpose in your life. And so are you checking in with Jesus on a regular pattern in your life? Are you starting your day with him? Are you thinking through things from Jesus' point of view each and every day, throughout your day? God wants to reveal himself to us in his word. And when we truly exercise the lordship of Jesus in our life, better things begin to happen. Why? Because God has the very best for us. He has tailored a plan for us that gives us meaning and purpose in this world and slates us for eternity. So battle plan number one is let Jesus be the Lord of your life. As well as the Savior of your life. Number two, you need to look around for the lies that you have been living by. You have to detect these lies, and then you have to disarm these lies. Because we, well, lie a lot to ourselves, don't we? Listen to what John tells us in John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, we believe a lot of things. They're just not true. And that deception is something that we really almost encourage in our life because we believe a lie. Just look at how you rationalize your sin. Well, it's just the way that I am. Well, part of that's true. You are a sinner. It is just the way that you are. But you have changed. God is transforming you. Oh, I know. I've heard it. Well, everybody else is doing it. You know, as I look around, I don't see anybody else leaning into their sinfulness. Paul calls that out too. Yes, God is gracious, but does that give us license to let sin abound in our lives? Man, you don't want that. That's not good, and it's not good for those that hang around with you. Your family, or your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. We rationalize that, well, it's so much work, I can't do it. I'll just wait till I get to heaven and God will take care of all of that for me. Well, God will, but what happens to you in the meantime? What we need to do is we need to realize that living these lies is self-defeating. Just because you are the way that you are doesn't mean that God isn't shaping you and transforming you. Just because everybody else is doing something doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to lean in on that and armor up over that and be in battle about that. And yes, it's true. It's hard work. It's hard work. The more we let this battle be unchecked in our minds, hearts, and souls, the harder it is to come back around and take it on. So my encouragement today is, why wait for tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? It does come down to allowing the Lord to be the Lord of your life. Confessing your mistakes and your faults and your failures to Him. And we know that He is gracious to forgive us all of our sins. If we keep a defeatist attitude, we will not win the battle. We have to be honest on what we believe, what's defeating us. If you want to stop defeating yourself, then stop deceiving yourself. And it's amazing how we defeat ourselves by a lie that we believe. Something we think about and feel, but really in the end, it's not true. It's not the best. It is not what God has in store for us. The third thing we have to do is, well, we need to buddy up with somebody else. We need to have someone else that we're carrying on an honest relationship with. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. Now, Jeremiah is right that the heart is a very deceitful thing. And we don't completely understand it. But we don't have to understand it completely to move forward into what God has in store for us. And so where our sinful nature is creeping back in, it's great to have somebody that you can tell, that's how I'm doing today. Now, if you don't have a confidant around you that you can tell everything to, I'd encourage you to buy one. Rent one. Find a Christian counselor or therapist or life coach. It's very freeing to be able to tell someone everything you're thinking and saying and doing. Now, let me underscore this. Don't go telling everyone everything. But everybody needs someone that they can tell everything and anything to. Because in our confession and in prayer, the Holy Spirit powers us up even more and more. And yes, sometimes life is a day-to-day struggle. Some days it's hour to hour, minute to minute. Instead of being weighted down by our sin, we need to be free from it, and that happens when we're confessing that to Jesus. When we can say to another person, I'm really having a problem in this area of my life. Will you pray for me? Will you check in with me? Will you be my accountability partner as I move forward? As I seek to live in the new self, that the new nature that God has given me. It's a good battle plan for victory. Allow Jesus to be Lord. Detect and disarm the lies that you are telling yourself. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing that. That's where that partner comes in. That somebody else who knows us and loves us and can look at us and say, do you know that's a lie? Do you know you're not living up to your best? Do you know that God has better for you than you've been living and experiencing? Yeah, there's a lot of battles out there. I think the biggest one is the battle that resides within me. And yes, I'm as perplexed at me on days just as Paul is perplexed at his life. Yet I know there's freedom and healing in having Jesus be the Lord of my life, the leader of my life. And he, through others and the Holy Spirit, have done a great job at leading me to the lies I was believing. And that deception was defeating me. I'm glad that through small groups, we have an opportunity to be with others. And out of that group, we can pick a person that would be our person. A person who can hold us up in our times of weakness. A person that can pray for us. A person who, when we need it, can come give us some encouragement where we need it. We can and will be victorious over this inner conflict of ours. That won't completely come till we have died and gone to heaven. But we can make some advancement in this war against sin. And we do that by being God's people, allowing Him to not only be our Savior, but our Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, you know where we allow our brokenness, our old nature to find its way back into our lives. And I pray that through your word and through the counsel of others, as well as the inner prompting of your Holy Spirit, that we would come to a place where we will allow you to be Lord of each and every area of our life. Especially be Lord over the sins. Our sins of commission and our sins of omission. Help us to clearly see the lies that deceive us. Give us the power to stop being self-defeating. Lord, we're thankful that you've put us in a community together where, yes, we can be very real and authentic. Lord, I'm thankful for those that have walked along with me in my life, those that are walking with me today. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And we pray to you today. Amen.
is our prayer. That is the cry of our heart. All the rest of the world, none of it matters really. But you are the one that our hearts delight in. You are the one that we want to desire and pursue and love more than anything else. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory this morning, God. And I pray for this church as we go out this morning that we would be listening to your voice, that we would be walking where you're directing us, God, especially as the world is distraught and confusing, difficult. We just look to you in hope. We thank you, God, that you're enough for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us this morning. It's wonderful to be together with you. I do have one reminder. Pastor Scott announced that we are going to be having a congregational meeting. That is happening, just a reminder, on January 31st after the third service. So if you have any questions, let Rick know, let one of the staff know, and we'd be happy to answer that for you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.